Hi, this is Unusual Sources 93.3. We're back and we're really glad to announce that we have Dave Lindorf on the phone. Dave, can you hear me right now?
I can.
Great. Brendan and I were just talking about sort of these radical elements in the States after the Tiller assassination and how it's really hasn't been handled by either people in government or many of the media outlets. We were specifically talking about Bill O'Reilly and how he's, you know, dubbed Dr. Tiller, Tiller the Killer on many shows. What kind of culpability do you think that people like Bill O'Reilly have in this?
Well, I think he certainly is guilty of incitement with the kind of statements he was making. You know, he's got a large audience, and you know, he and the people at Operation Rescue and others who, you know, claim to be you know, to condemn violence are clearly saying things that would logically lead an unbalanced person or a fanatic, you know, a Christian jihadist, if you will, to these kinds of acts of violence. If you say that somebody is a mass murderer of babies, that's a horrible thing. And, you know, I mean, I would like to think that if I were to think that there was somebody out there just hypothetically killing, you know, 100,000 infants, that I would take action if the government wasn't taking action, you know? And so you're telling people who believe that killing a fetus is murdering a baby and it doing it 60,000 times or whatever he was saying, you know, that you're saying it's a Holocaust and those persons are acting.
Yes, he also compared Dr. Tiller to Nazis, and
yes, he did.
And he also said that he was, you know, performing these late-term abortions on women with just headaches and whatnot. What really surprises a lot of us in Canada is that Fox News ratings continue to increase, and Bill O'Reilly has the number one show. So is this radical element that you're talking about really just a minority?
Well, you have to distinguish who is who. I mean, not everybody that listens to Fox TV is a gun-carrying Christian jihadist, but it's certainly true that there probably are a hardcore of maybe 25% of adult Americans who are politically attuned to the message that is coming out of Fox TV. And that's the hardcore that, you know, stuck with George Bush through thick and thin as his ratings sank through the floor. That those people are there, and they're pretty coterminous with that Christian, you know, that loony Christian right. So, and as I said, those aren't all people who'd pick up a gun and kill a doctor, but there are an element within that group that is a small number of people, but can, you know, do an awful lot of terrible things. So,
well, another thing that sort of surprises me about the media coverage is that there seem to be a lot of puff pieces just in the regular media interviewing this man, this killer, like he's a regular guy, sort of sob stories about him being in prison. Why is this? Why can't they distinguish this man? Like you talk about that, you know, that the Taliban, they wouldn't be interviewing terrorists, regular terrorists like this. Why does there seem to be a difference with these sort of radical terrorists?
Well, you're absolutely right. There is no difference. This is I did a piece in which I said that these that people like this and the people who encourage them are the American equivalent of the Taliban. They're people who are so fanatic and so obsessed with their religious dogma that they're willing to kill and, you know, indiscriminately kill and harm innocents even because, you know, they've bombed clinics, they've done, you know, not just targeted the doctors, they've targeted the women, they've targeted the workers at the clinics who aren't actually doing the abortion procedures. They've killed guards who have just been people getting paid to do a job guarding a clinic against firebombings. And so there's this mentality that is really not any different from the one that we're supposedly combating overseas.
Well, in your article, you also mention President Obama's sort of lackadaisical response to the assassination. Why do you believe the government is sort of complicit in these attacks, and why aren't they doing more to stop these radical elements in the United States?
Well, I think complicit's too strong a word. I think what it is gutlessness. I drew a parallel between the Obama response and the response of the Pakistani government in recent years to the expansion of religious fundamentalist fanaticism within Pakistan. They were afraid to confront it and to challenge it because some of them actually found it useful, which is true of our Republican Party. Them were afraid to confront it, like those in the Democratic Party, and so they soft pedal their opposition to it, and that's what Obama's done. And this is not something. This is something that you have to confront directly, and he doesn't do that. He doesn't say that these are, that this is a fanatic opposition that has to be condemned. He doesn't do it. He condemns the killing, but he doesn't condemn the people who like O'Reilly and like Operation Rescue, whose rhetoric is actually inciting this kind of behavior.
You also mentioned in your article that this is the ninth in a string of murders of abortion doctors across the country, and you state that there's also 17 attempted murders.
I think that dates from 70. If my numbers are right, it dates from 73 when abortion was legalized nationally.
So do you see any end to this violence?
No. In fact, I think that there is and a couple of people have written about this. I think that there is a inverse relationship between the power of the anti-abortion argument legally and the amount of violence that's precipitated against those who actually perform abortions, so that, you know, as the courts uphold abortion laws and as the abortion right becomes more and more supported by the government, because we do have now a Democratic Congress and a Democratic president who are going to keep abortion legal, then what happens is the anti-abortion movement becomes more fanatic, more obsessed, and more frustrated, and the violent element comes more to the fore. And that has been true. That was true during the Clinton years, when there also was a government that was more committed to protecting women's right to an abortion. And it happened another time, you know, going back in 73, the first violence came after the Supreme Court ruled that abortion was a right. So I think we can, to the extent that the government protects the right of women to have abortions and to control their own bodies, we will see more of this violence against the clinics and against the practitioners.
Well, and I think you make a really good point in your article as well, that these people just really have this intense hatred towards women, that they spread these lies that, you know, like every woman is going to be running to an abortion clinic, you know, at their 8 month stage of pregnancy. They just, it's a lot of rhetoric that is so inaccurate, and it's really surprising that it's allowed, that people haven't sued them for defamation.
Well, fortunately, we have better laws than that than you have in Canada. I've had experience with the British common law system on defamation and libel, and things that you could do there, we can't do here. And that's I think is to the good. The one point I do want to make, and that is that, and this is left out of the argument a lot. I speak from experience, because before my wife and I got married way back in 1970, she was pregnant and had to get an abortion, in order for that to be done, we had to find a way to do it in a safe manner when it wasn't legal. And believe me, it was really, really hard. And we had to reject a couple of things that we found you know, at the last minute because we realized they weren't safe. And not everybody did that. And after she graduated from college, the first job she got was working for Planned Parenthood in New York, the world headquarters of Planned Parenthood, which was doing a study of the new legalized abortion in the state of New York. And what they did was they took a look at the first full year after abortions were legalized in New York, the only state in the United States where they were legal on demand, because this was pre-Roe. And what they found, and she was a participant in the study, helped to write it, what they found was that in the year prior and the year after the abortion was legalized in New York, the number of live births in New York State remained exactly the same. Well, and the result, of the conclusion that you reach from that is that the exact same number of abortions were being performed before and after legalization. Ergo, everybody who wanted to get an abortion was getting them, but they were being done illegally.
And a lot of women died.
And they were either being done by themselves, you know, self-induced, or they were being done by, you know, back alley jobs. And the proof of the pudding in that was that the other thing they got statistics on was the number of admissions to hospital emergency rooms for the various conditions that come as a result of botched or self-induced or illegal abortions, which were perforated uteruses, infections of uteruses, and those kinds of things. And what they found there was that there were huge numbers of these in the year prior, and they almost disappeared in the year following. So when you put those two things together, what you're saying is, and this is an argument I just never hear made, that people who say that they oppose abortion because they think that killing fetuses is murder are simply failing to admit the reality that every one of those fetuses is going to die anyway, but the difference is the mothers won't, or they won't be, you know, injured in ways that can be permanent.
Well, exactly. And
so it's a bogus argument. It's like, I don't want abortions to happen with my tax dollars, but you can't say that you're stopping babies from being killed or anything like that.
Well, exactly, and specifically in the case of Dr. Tiller, a lot of those babies were already dead. They were stillborn, and you make an excellent argument. And thank you so much, Dave, for being with us today. We're really glad that we got to speak to you, and we'd love to have you on the program again.
Anytime, and I'll be here next time.
Yeah, no, great. And we're big fans of you on Counterpunch, and we're just wondering, do you have any new articles coming out or books that you'd like to talk about quickly?
Not a book. I'm working on some proposals for books, but I have an article which will come out tomorrow talking about the wheels falling off the Obama recovery plan.
Great. Well, we'd love to have you again on the show.
Can I say that people can get articles of mine that are on Counterpunch, but also some that don't get on Counterpunch on my website, which is thiscan'tbehappening.net.
Great. Well, I'm sure our listeners will go over there and have a read. And again, lovely having you on the show, and we'll talk to you again later. And now Brendan's going to be coming up with an interview about the Sudan. This is CFMU 93.3.